So we'll ask Brother Joey, Sister Matt, if you all are ready to come ahead and
excuse me, sorry about that. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning, and the Sunday school lesson that we had really goes along with this song that Maddie's going to sing. It's a song called How Deep the Father's Love for Us, and we studied out of Hebrews chapter 2, and in verse 9 and 10 it says, "For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings."
yet this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. Have paid my ransom. His wounds have paid my ransom.
What a beautiful song. If you have your Bibles, would like to read with me in the lesson, please turn to the book of Haggai. And I do ask today that you pray for the message. The book of Haggai, in the first chapter, I want to begin reading with the first verse and read a fairly short reading lesson. Haggai 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. That's the end of my reading lesson there with verse 8. The thought that I want to speak about today, I want to use this for a title, Still Building the House. And I want you to think along those lines with me for just a little while this morning about a house in building, a house that's still being built. You know, there are people today, there are religious people today, perhaps might be the best way to put it. There are those within the realm of religion today that don't believe that the Old Testament really has anything to do with us anymore. Don't you ever believe that. If you take away the writings of the old scriptures, you're going to take away some priceless prophecies. You're going to kill many wonderful promises that were made to the church. Jesus was in the Old Testament, wasn't he? He wasn't in the Old Testament incarnate. He wasn't living in the body in the Old Testament, but he sure was there. And he was very active among those people. There were people in that time that knew the Lord Jesus like you and I know him today. We can learn so many wonderful lessons. When the apostles in their days, when they spoke of the scriptures, they were speaking of the old scriptures. And remember, Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. And it is all profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for reproof. It is profitable unto us for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. In the book of Haggai, which is just a short little book that consists of two chapters, there are some wonderful lessons in this for us. I'm afraid that some of these books, such as Haggai and Amos and Zechariah, and some of them really don't perhaps get examined enough. I believe, Brother Durant, I believe we talked about that one time before during our winter Bible study meetings. They are certainly great books to be studied. And they are indeed full of rich teaching and wonderful lessons. The book of Haggai, and I wanted to speak just a little bit today about history, and this will just be a very general sketch. Haggai, the prophet, fits pretty closely into the same time frame with Ezra. When we open the book of Ezra, and also Haggai and Zechariah were contemporary one with another, you can read about them together in the book of Ezra. When the book of Ezra begins, Cyrus, king of Persia, is spoken about in the beginning of the book of Ezra. And God had stirred up the spirit of the king of Cyrus that he might build the Lord a house in Jerusalem. And that was what the book of Ezra was mainly about. The rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. The temple was very, very important to that economy. Very important to the Jews. Remember back in the days of the tabernacle, when the tabernacle was used before the temple was built. God had told them in the days of Moses how to design and to build the tabernacle. And he told them that this was going to be the place that he would meet with them. God told them that they're in the Holy of Holies, that they're above the mercy seat, there between the cherubims, that he would meet there with the high priest when he brought the offering of blood into the Holy of Holies. God said, right there, I will meet with you. And it was a very important place to them. Now, Israel, because of their own sin, and you could go and read the last chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and that's one of the places that it will tell you about this, and there's so much history that I could never begin today. I just want to give you a general outline here. Perhaps, and I would certainly welcome the time, perhaps sometime at prayer meeting, to have some lessons on this. But in the last chapter of the book of Jeremiah, it tells us of the time that Israel was taken captive there by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were taken into Babylon. And he also took the valuables there from the house of God, and he took them also into Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar put them in his temple there in Babylon. But I'll tell you what, they didn't belong there. They did not belong there. There are things that the Lord has today, and there's only one place where they belong, and that is among his people. And so they were taken captive, and the temple there in Jerusalem was burned. It was destroyed. And in the book of Ezra, who was one of the post-exile Jews, as was Haggai and Zechariah, you know, we read about, we had a message from the book of Ezekiel just a few weeks back, and spoke about Ezekiel being one of the prophets during the time of the Babylonian captivity. And I believe Brother Wheat this morning mentioned David, I believe it was, and the difficult circumstances he had there at times in the kingdom. And Ezekiel was certainly a man that prophesied under very, very difficult situations. And these men that we're speaking about in Ezra and Haggai and Zechariah were post-exile Jews. They had come out of captivity. It's commonly believed, and it's very probable, that Haggai was born there in Babylon during that time. And this book is, as far as I have been able to tell, this book of Haggai has two main thoughts that it sets forth. One of those thoughts is the urgency of rebuilding the temple there in Jerusalem. The second main thought or theme of this book is the promise of God's blessings upon their labors if they would do what he wanted them to do. Now, when Ezra began, probably about 15 years before this time, when Ezra began to rebuild the temple, they were opposed. Their enemies around them began to oppose them, and there was a period of time that the rebuilding of the temple was stopped. And I believe that that brings us to the time of Haggai and what it was that they were endeavoring to do. Now we find here in these verses that were read that the people at this time did not have the proper attitude about rebuilding the temple. They were not placing the proper importance upon it, and God was very dissatisfied with them for that. And we found in this verse that in verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, who was also among the Jews, of the post-exile Jews, those that had were on the other side of the captivity, the book of Nehemiah dealt a lot with the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. And I believe it's in the fourth or fifth chapter of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah encourages the people and he tells them, rise up and build. And you know, as the people of God, that is what we need to constantly be concerned about. And that's what we need to constantly be doing, is rising up and building. Now, we're talking about something here in the book of Haggai. We're talking about history. We're talking about something that is past, something that's finished, something that won't be done again, because the days of the tabernacle and the temple have ceased. And they are no longer, and I am convinced that they will be no more. I'm convinced that there will not be a restoration of that natural temple. There will not be a restoration of that tabernacle. God fulfilled those prophecies through the church. God fulfilled those prophecies where sometimes it may seem like they were speaking of natural things, but I am convinced that God spiritually fulfilled those prophecies in the building of the church. And one day, he's going to come and get her. He's coming for his church one day. And we're going to rise up to meet him in the air. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. And then the Lord is going to bring destruction upon this earth and finally destroy it. But we, as I said earlier, I want to speak today about still building. Still working on the building. And so the work in that Ezra's doing was halted, Haggai and Zechariah, you can read about it in the 5th chapter of Ezra, the 6th chapter of Ezra. Haggai and Zechariah, these prophets, they began to encourage the people to take up the work and to get it done and to do what it was that they were supposed to do. But you see, these people, they were not at this time, they did not seemingly have the attitude that Nehemiah had about rebuilding the wall when he was trying to get the people to rise up and build. They were very lax in it. They were not concerned about getting it done. God said these people are saying, well, it's not time to build the Lord's house. But God's answer to them was, well, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses while this house lies waste? I'll tell you what, I believe one of the greatest lessons here in this book, and is good for the people of God for all times, is that the things of God ought to always take priority in the lives of His people. It was wrong for these people, and they were rebuked for it. It was wrong for these people to be dwelling in their own houses. You know, David had a great desire to build a house for God. David had a great desire to build the temple, to build a permanent place for God. You know, the tabernacle was something, it was a tent. The tabernacle was mobile. They moved it from place to place. But David had a desire to build a permanent house for God, but he wasn't allowed to build that because of the fact that he was a man of war and he had blood on his hands. But God assured him that his son would build it. But here was David's attitude about the building of the temple. It was opposite of what the people had here for a while in the days of Haggai. David's attitude about the building of the temple was he didn't feel that it was right for him to have a house and for him to be dwelling in a house and the Lord himself not have a house. That's the way that David looked at it. These people in this time, they had the opposite view. They seemed to be just fine with the fact that they were dwelling in their own houses, and they were just content to, for a time, to just let the temple of the Lord lay in waste. I'll tell you what, church, I promise you this. If we don't always consider the things of God to be priority, then God's not going to be happy. God's not going to be pleased. And in this situation, he moved upon them and he said, consider your ways. Think about what it is that you're doing. Now, the house of the Lord in our day is the church. The church of the living God is his house. If you look in, it's not a building. The house of God today is not a building. It's not a structure the way that it was in the Mosaic economy. It's not a tabernacle. It's not a temple. It's not a place. The church today is the building of God through a divine person, Jesus Christ. The church is the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. We are his body. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it tells us there that the church is a spiritual house. It is a place for the habitation of God through the Spirit. And friends, I'll tell you what, and I'm so thankful for this, when God's people walk in his ways, when God's people put God up on the pedestal where he belongs, when we exalt the Lord, when we put his work above our own work, when the Lord's house means more to us than our own house means, when the things of God mean, the work of God mean more to us than our own work, then God is pleased to dwell with his people. God loves to dwell with his people. He's with us today. I felt his presence, haven't you? The Lord is here dwelling with us. I'll tell you when people get in trouble. I'll tell you when the people of God get in trouble. I'll tell you when the people of God cause trouble is when we begin to be more concerned about us than we are God. It's when we are more concerned about the things that we want than the things that God wants. It's when we get lax in the work of the Lord and lay down the tools and stop work and just say, it's not time to do this. Friends, we need to be continually building the house of the Lord. We do it through the gospel. I'll tell you, the gospel is the tool by which we build. It's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We are building the house today with spiritual things. In fact, to be more precise, it is the Lord that is building his house today. We are merely the workers. We are merely his servants. We are merely those that he is using to do that. And he has given us, I believe in the gospel, he has given us all the tools that we need. I want you to consider this scripture with me in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 16, the Bible tells us when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that he asked his disciples, he say, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who are they saying that I am? He wanted to know from his disciples what was being said, what people were saying. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, there's some that are saying that you are John the Baptist. There's some that are saying that you are Elijah. There's some that are saying that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he got a little bit more particular about it. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? Let's not think about these other people for a minute. He wanted to know among his disciples, who is it that you say that I am? And from there it became a one-on-one conversation with him and the Apostle Peter. And the Apostle Peter answered and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And you know what? Jesus liked that answer, didn't he? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The Apostle Peter knew the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was through a spiritual witness, didn't he? I'll tell you today, there are those today that call people up and they have them repeat a prayer, or they have them sign a card, or they have them do something else, and then a man will tell them, based upon these things that you have done, you're okay. Friends, let me tell you something. If all that you have of your salvation was the witness of flesh and blood, you better keep looking. You better keep looking, because you don't have it. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, or death if you will, shall not prevail against it. Now let's think about that for a moment. The Apostle Peter, through the witness of God the Father, was able to say, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus liked that to the point where he blessed him for that. And he said, and I say unto you that thou art Peter. Now I'm going to tell you what I believe about those scriptures. You may have a different view, and that's okay. Some people do. But I'm going to tell you what I believe about those scriptures. I don't believe that the Apostle Peter was the rock. I don't believe that's what the Lord meant. And I know that Jesus is our rock. But in those scriptures, I don't believe that it was even that he was particularly speaking about. I believe he was talking about the relationship that existed between him and his people, the way that they knew him through a spirit of the witness, and Jesus knew those that were his. That born-again experience, I believe, was the rock that Jesus was talking about that he would build his church upon. And I'll tell you what, I don't believe anybody that's ever, anybody that hasn't had it, now they may have had their name put on the roll by a local body, but I don't believe there's ever been anybody that did not have that born-again experience with the Lord that became a part of his church. Everyone, you know, we baptized, Jesus left the church with the authority to baptize. We hear the testimony of those as they come forth and testify of God's grace. We baptize them according to the Lord's commandment. But the Bible teaches me that it is the Lord that adds to the church. And so today we need to rise up and build. We need to continue to build, because if you look in the 16th chapter of Matthew there, when Jesus made that statement, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hadn't revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven, and I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus was not making reference there to the establishment of the church or to the origin of the church, because the church already existed. He was talking about the continual building of the church throughout all generations, a progressive work that the gates of hell would not be able to stop. Have they stopped it? Why, no. You know, every time that someone stands here and tells us of how the Lord saved their soul, we take them here and we administer the ordinance of baptism. Every time, we're building the house. We're building the house. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to build until the Lord comes back. I believe that. I believe that somewhere when the Lord comes back, there will be those that are still building the house. This work is not about us. The problem is, sometimes
we have a tendency to make it about us. The things that we want here are not what's important. The things that God wants are what counts. You know, their comfort here, their laziness here was offensive to God. He didn't like what he saw. He didn't like their attitudes. He didn't like it that they were saying, well, it's not time to do this work. We'll just go hang out in our houses and we'll just let yours lay there in ruins. What a bad attitude. You know what I've always thought? And this building here is not the church. This is the place that God has blessed us with to meet here and to worship. But I'll tell you what, you can properly call it the Lord's house, because it has been set apart for that purpose. And as far as I've always been concerned, even our sanctuaries and our buildings that we meet in, the maintenance of these ought to take priority over the maintenance of the houses that you and I live in. They ought to take priority. Everything that has to do with God ought to always be the priority of our life. You get up on the Lord's Day, you got someplace you'd rather go than to church, you need to consider your ways. The Lord will tell you that. Amen. Consider your ways. You know, and I'll be finished here in a moment, Lord willing, but you know, we don't seem to have any problem as God's people. We don't seem to have any problem wanting to tell the lost people that they need to think about their condition, that they need to take a good look at themselves. You know, that happened to me before I got saved. I mean, before the Lord saved my soul, friend, I really saw myself. I saw what I was. I saw that I was a wretched sinner. I saw that I was miserable before God. I saw that the way that God was looking at me for what I really was, a lost, ruined sinner. And we don't have any problem, it seems. You know, if the preacher gets up and preaches that, we don't seem to have any problem shouting amen. Yeah, you preach it to the lost people. And it's true, lost friend. You need to see yourself for the sinner that you are. But listen, God's people, we need to see ourselves too, don't we? We need to look at ourselves. In fact, we don't need to just look at ourselves. We need to do what David did in the 139th Psalm. We need to invite God to take a good look at us. Search me. Search me, Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting. Still building the house. Got all the tools that we need. Oh, I'll tell you what. I my heart is saddened about the times through the years that things got a little bit slow. Many churches that were upholding the truth and people were really being saved became impatient. They begin to give in to the thought of there being an easier way. What a tragic loss. I'll tell you, if we're not building it for God, we need to not build it at all. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We need to be like Nehemiah. You know, when Nehemiah came and he saw the walls of Jerusalem just torn down there, it bothered him so bad that he just sat down on the ground and cried. And then he set out to do the work of building the house of the Lord. What a great privilege that God would even allow us to work for him. Isn't that something? That he would even allow us to be the workers of his vineyard. And we better take real good care of it. because God left us something that was very, very precious to Him. Amen. The temple was a natural building, as I said. It was a physical building. The Bible doesn't teach me. I don't know of a verse. If it's in there, then somebody will have to show me. But the Bible doesn't tell me that He gave Himself for the temple, but He did give Himself for the church. He gave Himself for the church. He loved her that much and does love her that much. And we need to take good care of that that means so much to Him. And so we need to just press forward. Friends, we need to press forward and just keep on building the house. If we do, God will be happy with us. I promise you He will. If we will do that, God will be happy with us. When things become about us and what we want and all this stuff, that's when trouble comes. And that's when the work gets halted. But if we'll just remember that this is not about you and I, it's about the Lord and about His cause. And you know what? There's not one of us that's not expendable, is there? Not one of us. God proved that to us many times in the Scriptures. You know what? Moses was a great leader, but when he was finished with Moses, he had a successor, didn't he? He had Joshua to just come right in and take over. And there's not one of us that God can't replace. Not a one. And I'm glad this doesn't hinge on us. Death, that's what Jesus was talking about the gates of hell. He said, not even death will destroy her. When the apostles died, and they were a part of the great foundation of the church, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. But when the apostles died, the church kept going. And she has kept going all through the years. Not even death can stop her. That's what the gates of hell were, death. I appreciate your time today. I really do. And I hope something's been said that's been helpful. Let's keep working on the building. Anybody a word at all before we dismiss today? Again, remember, Brother Davison be here to preach tonight at 6 o'clock. Please come and support him and pray for him, and do pray for the funeral service this afternoon. God bless you. If all hearts are free, we'll stand together at this time. And